Welcome to the Agents Angle, where we examine whether the football agents world really is one of Rolexes, Ferraris, and a life of luxury. I'm Jonathan Booker.
And I'm Peter Palaiologos. Whilst the football agent regulatory landscape still makes for a disjointed and confusing world, at least one territory seems to be consistent and has been for some time. We take a stroll through the regulations and legal aspects for football agents and other football stakeholders in France.
Yes, and one country where there has been a ruling on FFAR is England. And just over a week ago, the FA released its agent fee declarations for the last year, thus prompting the annual outcry of those blood-sucking agents taking money out of the game.
All that to come on this episode of The Agent's Angle.
And some people never get tired of that old line of taking money out of the game when it comes to football agents, do they? A naive comment at best, which we could no doubt dismiss in so many different ways, Peter. But it would take far too long, and besides that, we have another packed episode of The Agent's Angle, and it is best we get on with the show rather than the age-old debates we have heard and had many times before over many years.
Yes, no time for over-analysis of that statement. However, to understand the football business these days, you do need to understand the agent's business. Now, taking money out of the game by agents, I believe now is a poor term or analogy. Fact is, it's about what an agent brings to the table. Are you helping players? Are you helping clubs, families? A lot of agents pay for trials, travel and accommodation for players. Many agents travel to conferences and visiting clubs at their own expense. And most would scout on their own expense. And it's also about pushing to get in front of the decision makers at clubs, get their attention. And agents work really hard to get that attention. And I would say for many smaller agents who don't make enough, they use a lot of their own capital, money maybe from another job or another business, to fund the agent business, at least initially, because earning good agent fees in this business takes time and sometimes a little bit of luck because you've got to have the players.
But this week, we are going to start with England and the issue of agents' fees. And as normally happens this time of year, the FA, the Football Association in England, has released its annual declarations on agent fees. Now, these declarations, I think it's safe to say, were largely prompted by FIFA and the RWWI, the regulations on working with intermediaries in 2015, when it was instructed that all national member associations do such annual declarations or reports for agents' fees and transactions. Some national associations have done it in the past, some continue to do it, and from what I can tell, some have never actually really bothered, but rarely been warned or sanctioned for that. Plus, the form some of these declarations take has changed over time. I actually think that the FA in England could have gotten away with not doing this report this year, firstly given the arbitration ruling on FFAR in England, and also the partly suspended status of FFAR from FIFA as it stands. But credit where credit is due, the FA have done the report and released it. Yet, I think this is probably more to do with people asking them why they haven't done it if they had chosen not to.
Yes, Jonathan, I think this information is just a continuation of what they were doing based on declarations and information given by agents, players and clubs. I like what the FA are doing here, that continuation, even though the FFAR situation in England is a little bit different, especially with the caps. You don't have caps based on the Rule K decision. These reports build the data and provide, I would say, a more clearer picture and a bit more transparency of what's happening with agent fees. And there were a couple of articles in The Athletic, The Guardian, the BBC, so major news outlets who were referring to this report. Now, we'll put those articles in the show notes. But to summarise, from the period of the 1st of February 2023 to the 1st of February 2024, which is basically the last two transfer windows, the headline for these articles and the report, I would say, is the Premier League club spent over £400 million on agents in the year two, February 2024. Just for our listeners' interest, Chelsea were the top of the Premier League, over £75 million spent on agents. All three articles reflect that. Manchester City, second, was over £60 million. Manchester United, £34 million. And Liverpool, £31.5 million, also featuring the top 10. Some of the other popular clubs: Arsenal, £24 million; Aston Villa, 21; Tottenham, 19.7 million; and Newcastle United, 18.8 million. Which all those clubs in the probably in the top eight. So don't know if that has a bit of a link. What I also liked about this report, it went a little bit into the other divisions, and I'll just mention very briefly: Leeds spent the most in the Championship; Derby County, a big club in League One; Wrexham, with their famous American owners, in League Two; and in the National Division, York City, which was quite interesting. Now, I do like this transaction report. There's two reports actually released, but I'll focus on the transaction report, which lists the player, the club, the agent, and what type of deal it was. I like it from three angles, Jonathan. Who is the agent doing the deal? Whether the deal was a scholarship, a new registration, an updated contract, a permanent transfer in, a loan in, or international loan out. I like how it defines those categories because we know there's all different types. And importantly for us, who is representing the deal? The club or the player or both, maybe even three parties. I would like to see more information maybe on the rates or ranges of fees. We know there's no caps in England, as I mentioned earlier, but I would like to know the averages of the marketplace. Is the marketplace competition influence the average agent fees? What are they? But for me, a very interesting report, and I think I would like to see it continue, Jonathan.
Yeah, Chelsea very visible in the reports surrounding those declarations. Needless to say, we actually have somewhat of a backlog of stories involving Chelsea and football agent-related matters, which we haven't had a chance to cover, and at one point there was a bit of a deluge of stories involving Chelsea and agents. But back to the reports and declarations from the English FA. To be quite honest, Peter, I'm thoroughly bored of these reports now. I've gone from the early days of the reports in waiting in anticipation for them to drop and then really scrutinising them. And there was even a stage when I even got a heads up direct from the FA when they were due to be released because they knew I'd be waiting for them during my AFA days. But it's got to a state now of almost apathy with these reports and now only scrutinising them for particular actors and transactions, along with pulling out any startling anomalies. In fact, if it hadn't been for the agents angle, I probably wouldn't have even looked at them yet. The reasons for this is that the amount of information or relative data in them can be skewed and misinterpreted in so many ways. And it often is by some in the media or even in politics for a cheap dig at agents and the money in football, who are all supposedly earning millions for little or nothing, and thus all finding the luxury lifestyle I mentioned in the introduction. And that misinterpretation and misrepresentation of these reports is no different to what happened when they first came around in 2015-2016. Amongst other things, this is because, firstly, there's a mishmash of information here that can present an inaccurate picture and a variety of narratives. For example, you have loans, transfers, and contract extensions all mixed together, along with senior or star players mixed with young first-year pros whose salaries and earnings are going to be vastly different, not least between the different clubs at the top and the bottom end of the tables. The total payment figures per club, even the FA clarify these may not accurately represent what belies the figure. And I take a quote here from the FA. The total payment figure per club will, therefore, not necessarily relate directly to those transactions listed involving a football agent or intermediary, which were entered into between the 1st of February 2023 to the 1st of February 2024. As such, just one facet of this is whether the totals paid by the clubs relate to instalment payments from past transactions, past contracts, and not directly the reporting period in the report. Also, this is a big one for me, there's no determination of who is paying these agent fees, whether it be the player, the releasing club, the engaging club, or even the club paying on behalf of the player as a taxable benefit in kind. And with that, what is the split on those fees? Do we assume all dual representation are 50-50 between the club and the player? Which again, all distorts the perception of who is paying the agent, the player or the club. And above all, there is a lot of missing information for me in these reports. I know you've pointed out what information is in there, but there's a hell of a lot of information missing that could give a more accurate representation of what is really happening. As I think I mentioned, these FA reports have changed over time. If I remember correctly, particularly the 2019-2020 report, when some of the columns in the report on the transactions disappeared. yet it could be argued those columns have been rather vacant in preceding years. Notably, who represents the former club, the selling club? And some of the information arguably had little or no value in terms of transparency. Plus, the agency or organisation of the intermediary involved and the date received field were seemingly removed also around the same time, which relates to the aspect of connected agents in transactions, which forms part of regulations new and old. Personally, I think these reports have been a bit of a chore for the likes of the FA, and they have ticked the box in doing it, when many associations haven't, in all honesty. So credit to them there, and credit to the other associations who have. The fault for me here lies, surprise, surprise, with FIFA, in that there was no adequate prescribed standard structure for these reports, plus no enforcement for associations not producing these declarations and reports. But then again, that failure of upholding regulations extends to RWWI as a whole and not just these annual reports. I think we agree we need increased transparency with agent activity, as we do with clubs and players, and maybe that will come with the new FIFA declarations under FFAR, albeit that is an uncertain and hotly debated area and is rightly disputed. These sorts of reports need to be appropriate, fair, reasoned, consistent, and above all, representative of the situation.
Jonathan, you're sounding like these reports are not as exciting as they should be. A bit like a lot of people I know don't find deadline day at the end of a transfer window. They find it boring because not many deals are done in the countdown as they used to be. Of course, I say that in jest, but yes, I take your point. The key takeaways and observations from me in relation to these declarations and this information, and these reports, is I see a trend, and I know the collation issue, and I can see maybe there's payments that were due during that period, but were for deals maybe the previous season. I get that point, but the big clubs pay for the best players, which translates to high salaries or transfers or sign-on fees, which inevitably results in big agent fees. And I mentioned 8 big clubs from the EPL paying the most in terms of the amounts to agents. I'm for this data being available, but I agree with you. It has to be more granular and a lot more columns, a lot more information, a lot more background. Also, we don't know, as you mentioned, how the fees are shared. Because also those fees are shared between agents and could be 2 or 3. Lawyers are involved as well. Also, the big agencies who employ agents themselves, but those agents always compete because they have to compete in that sort of environment, may get a clip off the commission to run their company from that agent who made a deal. So those agent fees could be divvied up in different ways. Now, obviously, we had the pandemic and then we had FFAR and the caps, the fear of the caps, I should say. And maybe more deals happened in the last 1 or 2 years or more transfers because of that. That might have been a motivation. And also we came from a low base because of the pandemic. But it's also clubs' ambitions to move up and they will pay. They'll pay agent fees. Also, I know that a lot of agents have certain sway with certain clubs. And I had a look at some of the names. Some would have done multi-representation deals, which means they have influence of maybe a fixer or a broker in the markets. And for them, they're always busy and always making deals with the big clubs. I do like the Jonathan trends and insights. And I think if you look at this data, say this year, and then you go back a year or two, if you're really interested, you can actually see which agents are working a lot with which clubs, because you see which club's signing which player and then which agent is involved. And you can probably see if there's a trend or a relationship between certain agents and certain, say, Premier League clubs. It's not hard to deep dive and explore that and compare previous reports like this to gauge connections. And I find that interesting, actually, especially for someone who wants to do that kind of research. But there's a side note to all this, Jonathan. The English Premier League, I believe, and you can correct me on this, agreed to introduce rules that will cap spending on player-related costs at 70% of revenue for clubs in European competition. Now, that's quite interesting because if it's 70%, the agent fees are part of player-related costs. So they would be in that 70%. So I do know from salary cap leagues like Australia, a lot of the agent fees are included in the cap. So I'm not saying that's a cost control, but it does have an influence if a club's telling you we've reached 70% of our budget if we pay you so much more. So that may have an effect in part of the player negotiations.
Cost controls in football. I can hear accountants and lawyers rapidly rubbing their hands together to find some creative way around it. And then we'll have another revision of the cost controls. But as I said previously, my observations with this report of the information in the declarations this time are more general ones. So I'll try and keep it brief. Out of all those transactions, there are only approximately 15 examples that I could see of tripartite representation, the same agents representing player, selling club and buying club. And notably, the same names do often crop up on those comparatively few transactions. There are no transaction dates on these reports, which for this period and moving forward is important, as we don't know which set of FIFA regulations or licensing should be applied to the transactions or the intermediary involved. There seems to be quite an increase in transactions on previous years, possibly around about 30%, but that's a very crude estimate on page count alone. So could this be agents and agencies, as you said, manoeuvring to address the application of new regulations, not least a proposed cap? We didn't know where we were 12 months ago with that in England. It could, however, just be a pagination issue and how these FA reports have been typeset and published in its now legendary small font. I was surprised to see a relatively low number of former club listings for the transactions, particularly at the higher levels of the Premier League and the Championship, whereby the agent supposedly represents the releasing or selling club. Could this be such fees weren't declared or even involved an overseas agent, which I know firsthand the FA don't always include in the declarations details of overseas agents? The fact is, we just don't know. There still seems to be a lot of agency representation in the report rather than individuals, which again this year is important given that under FFAR, agents are to be individual persons rather than companies or organisations. And finally, there are quite a lot of names on this transaction list who I know aren't FIFA licensed agents under FFAR or registered licensed agents with the FA. So big question marks may remain over any contracts from these transactions involving those persons and the intermediary's future involvement in agent activity. But as I said, this year's report must be noted as a bit of an anomaly in itself, as it covers the FFAR transition period and also a period of many disputes and uncertainty regarding FFAR, not least the FA Rule K arbitration itself. So all credit to the FA for doing it, as I think they were arguably under no obligation to do this report this time round with the advent of FFAR.
Yes, I agree. I give credit to the FA for this report because it also provides data, gives people a chance to analyse that data, although not perfect. And we need more of these reports, as you said, Jonathan. It's interesting, I noticed that a couple of big name agents not just did Premier League deals, but also Championship. That may also mean a lot more loans as well, or more younger players coming up. So it's interesting that you might be a big agent or a big name, but that doesn't mean you're always just in the Premier League. There are other leagues who pay well, but also players who are coming through. So you can pick up those trends. Also noticed quite a lot of, obviously, foreign players. And speaking of foreign players, not far from England is another prominent football market and major exporter of football talent, which is France. And we see a lot of French players coming into the English leagues, especially Premier League and Championship. Yet in France, there has arguably been more consistency with football agent regulation as it falls under the federal law and has done so for many years, over a decade or so. Even with this aspect of the law that is applicable to the licensing and regulation of football agents in France, which in essence is a profession, it still raises a lot of questions on the topic and there is some uncertainty. So we went to get an expert insight on this topic, football agents and agent regulations in France. And I'm now honoured to introduce our guest, Jean-Baptiste Genies of the French law firm Legal Squad. Jean-Baptiste is a French lawyer who, amongst other things, specialises in sports law, including the areas of player contracts, labour law and tax. He's also represented sports players before common courts in France and also at the FIFA DRC chambers. Jean-Baptiste is also a sports agent, advisor and has represented players like Alain Saint-Maximin in their Newcastle United English Premier League deal. Jean-Baptiste has degrees from the University of Nice and Montpellier and represented his law firm at the International Association of Football Lawyers Conference, also known as the AIAF, which was recently held, I believe last year, in the famous French wine city of Bordeaux. Jean-Baptiste, welcome to the Agents Angle.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Hi, everyone.
Just to begin with, can you quickly summarise for our listeners what is the current process for obtaining a football agent's licence in France? What are the prerequisites and requirements for applicants to be licensed in the French system?
Basically, to become an agent in France is a very specific procedure. You have to take two exams in front of the National Olympic Committee. The first exam requires a lot of French laws knowledge. You have to get the mark on general questions about French labor law, companies law, tax law, sports law, obviously. Then when you pass this first step as an exam, you have the second exam. This second exam is specific because the questions asked are more concerned about the discipline the agent wants to work in, such as football, rugby, golf, basketball, etc. And the topics are mainly focused on the regulations about the specific sports you choose to take the exam. Once you pass the exam, you're officially a licensed French agent regarding the law and the football. I will speak mainly about football, obviously, the Football Federation. You are registered as an official agent. It's a very difficult exam because it's mainly a law exam, so you have to get a very specific knowledge before taking it. It's not quite easy to get it. But each year, you have among 30 or 40 candidates that passes the exam, among 500 candidates. So there is a very low success rate on this exam. And today in France, just to present the background, we have approximately 700 official and unofficial agents. Official agents are more close to 300, but it changes every year. The system is such as the FFAR, a license system. You get the authorization through this license to work in this area. It's very important to get it because if you don't have this license, you officially, legally cannot work in the French territory. So there is a specific system. This system of exam and license is in France since 2008. So it's kind of old system right now. But at the time, it was a wish by the government to regulate the profession. It was very important for the government at the time because some actors started to work in this area without any certification or habilitation or just legitimacy. So they decided to create this exam in 2008. And since then, every year, you have one session of the exam to pass it. So you have one chance each year. So that's, I think, the main way to become an agent in France, the main background for a French citizen that wish to become an agent. After that, you have other status that French Sports Code and the French Football Federation created to allow European agents and extra overseas agents to work in France. So that's asks a lot of questions since the suspension of the FFAR among this situation.
The FFAR parts of it have been suspended, but the license is still in existence and you need the license to operate in a lot of countries, regardless of the exclusions of caps and the injunctions. In terms of the French Football Federation, the FFF, does it recognise the FFAR license? So someone who's a foreigner and wants to do business in France, is this license recognised? Or do they need to use maybe a local recognised agent to do deals in France generally?
That's a tough question, but just before the suspension of the FFAR, the FFF, the French Federation, decided that because of governing national laws, the FFAR won't apply in France in any cases about the licensing system, about the license exam, about the cap fees, and about other subjects such as conflict, etc. So from the beginning of this modification about football agents in the world, France started to say just no, we won't apply it. Then there was the suspension regarding the case laws in front of European courts and the Düsseldorf trial, etc. It doesn't really change the system regarding the FFAR. But any agent from overseas who wants to work in France can work in France. But there are some conditions regarding original federation. Where does it come from? If it comes from European Union, is officially registered in a European Union country and federation, therefore, you can ask the French Federation to get what we call in French prestataire. How can I say it in English? We can say, I think, benefits when you are allowed to work for a specific time in France. Mainly, it's 1 year, one season. You get the authorization from the FFF to work normally, regarding, of course, the French laws, such as cap fees, declaration of the contract, etc. That's for the European Union agents, and they are officially recognized by the local federation. And for agents that are from overseas, they can work in France, but the specificity here is, as you mentioned it in the question, they have to go through a French licensed agent to work in French territory. Therefore, the French agent will be the first one to be mentioned in the contracts and in the declarations in front of the French Federation. So every agent recognized in his own country can work in France. But the most important condition is that the French Federation recognizes the other systems, the other federations, and guarantees that the agent has a minimum of 1 year registration in the other federation and can prove, if it's necessary, that he has worked during this year before registration in France, such as he has mandates with clubs, with players, etc., so that it cannot be a fake recent agent, if I can say. He needs to have proofs of his way of working and the habits of working as a foreign agent in his own country. The foreign agent will have to take the French regulations too. So the fees, there is a cap in France written in the sports code, which is 10% maximum on the gross salary of a player. The club agent, club mandate, it's also 10% maximum in France. Regulation, of course, everything I say is strictly for the French territory. This situation doesn't apply for a situation between a French agent and another federation. This subject only applies if you come to France as a foreign agent and want to work here and to sign players or to work with clubs in France.
It's interesting what you say there, Jean-Baptiste, about European agents operating in France and that dispensation, because I remember back in 2015 when the French football agent licensing changed with the advent of RWWI, the regulations on working with intermediaries from FIFA, and it was a matter of applying for that periodical allowance from the French Federation with proof of you being a licensed agent pre-2015, provided your home association backed it up to the French Federation. I thought at the time it was more a transitional measure. So it's interesting what you say there, because there's a lot of debate between European agents as to whether they can operate in France or not. And I won't go down the route of discussing British agents, because that's, of course, a different scenario now where we know the UK stand. But this is very, very similar to, dare I say, the legacy path requirements from FIFA under the FFAR. But with that in mind, are there any additional allowances or categories for somebody to act in the role of a football agent in France, such as a close relation, like a parent or relative of a player?
That's a good question, because the situation happened years ago about a football player. I think he's Albanian. It's Lorik Sana, who played for both Marseille and Paris Saint-Germain. His father was judge about the situation of him being his agent. The question actually has a very simple answer. If the father, the uncle, the neighbor, or who you want, has the license, the Football French Federation license, he can be a relative and work with his son or nephew or whatever. The conflict of interest, of course, is a question that could happen. The other question that was very difficult to answer, and I can speak about it because a lot of things changed 2 years ago. A law of 2010 created a status for lawyers to become kind of agents. I don't want to say agents fully, because that's very French debate. We debate a lot about the wording of laws and the wording of what we can do or cannot do. But there was this topic saying that, can the lawyer be the agent or not of a player? The law was very imprecise. So the jurisdiction recently, just to sum up the case, decided that lawyers couldn't be agents, because lawyers are not commercial persons in France. They are not considered such as commercial negotiators, etc. They are kind of protected by a status that don't allow us and them to work as a commercial guy, a financial guy. We are only strictly focused on the law business, if I can say like this. So we can intervene in the negotiation, but just on the legal aspect of the signature or the operation of a transfer or by a player signing a contract. That's it. But we cannot act as agents, such as recruit players, call the clubs, etc. This we cannot do. So there was this question in France about the lawyers. Can they be agent or not? The answer, of course, is not. The only person who can work in France is the licensed agent.
And of course, we're talking here about federal law. We're talking about the proper law. We're not talking about football regulations, or as some people frame it, FIFA law, which is a strange conundrum to a lot of us. What are the potential penalties for someone acting as an unlicensed football agent in France? Who's responsible for that enforcement and the sanctions? And have there been any notable enforcements or cases since, say, 2015?
Yes, there are a lot of cases since 2015. And very recently, there is a big change and big movement from the French Federation that only has the role of alarming the state and the federal authorities. They just can send message to a DA and say, for instance, I think this person is working as an unofficial agent, unlicensed agent, and breached the federal law. So they make this message to the state, and the state starts an investigation. And there are a lot of it at the moment. And it's criminal law to work as a fake agent. And sanctions are very, very important. You can be condemned of maximum 2 years of prison, but never happened. And there are a lot of financial penalties. You can, of course, have to reimburse the amount you received and the same amount as a penalty. So you double it. And then you can have official fine of a very important amount. But you still have, again, this week, I saw on the sports newspaper, investigation among persons and clubs. Because some of the CFO or CEO of clubs, they can be declared as complice of this crime. So they are also heard on the case and the investigations. So it's very, very dangerous, I can say, to work as a fake agent in France. And there are a lot of investigations right now, but the investigation lasts something 2 or 3 years minimum, depending on the case, of course. If there are a lot of money in stakes, it can move faster. But the cases are very long, and the investigation to get conclusions are very long too. So federal law and criminal law are very important in this matter, because can sanction very hardly a person that would contravene the regulation and the license system.
In terms of recognition by FIFA, in the FFVR, there is provision for national recognition, and specifically France and Italy. Is there any movement by FIFA and the French Football Federation in terms of cross-recognition of the licenses? And my second question is there any recognition between Italy, who's got, I would say, a similar system, because they've got the Olympic Committee having one exam, and then the Federation, if you want to do football, to do the second exam. Is there any, I would say, any agreement or any recognition between France and Italy in terms of their licenses?
There are no specific agreements. The main agreement remains as it is. If you're from European countries such as Italy, you have to ask for a registration in the prestataire list, which you can find on the FFF website. The FFF website, by the way, is a very important glossary for the public, because you have listed every French agent and also every prestataire, so European agent, that is registered, and the duration of the registration. I think, for instance, the majority of the list of prestataires ends in end of May, so they can ask a renewal for the next mercato. But from an Italian perspective, as long as you are officially recognized as Italian agent through the FIFA relation, you can work as a prestataire in France. There are no specific one country to another agreements. It's just a general statement.
With the FFAR, the FIFA Football Agent Regulations, there's also recognition of coaches and managers as clients of the agents. Does the French Football Agent Regulations also recognize coaches and managers as clients? And if so, are the same fee caps that apply?
Exactly. The French law recognizes both players and coaches in the written text. So it's exactly the same regulation. And if it's the same regulation, it's the same cap too, 10% maximum also. So you're right to mention it. The two jobs are mentioned in the sports law in France.
In terms of the FFAR exam, not the French exams, the two exams, has the French Federation hosted exams within France for FIFA's FFAR exam?
The question was asked to the French Federation because, as far as I remember, the FFAR mentioned in these first articles that every federation has to organize the exam. So the question was quickly answered by the French Federation, and they just said, and then with an official statement made public on their website, that just the exam that they used to organize will be also organized every year. So no FFAR exam or FIFA exam will be hosted in France. So you had a lot of French candidates, they took the exam in foreign countries and limitrophic countries such as UK, Luxembourg, Andorra, Italy, Spain, Belgium, etc., etc. So no exam in France, and at the moment it will remain the same because they just said in the statement, we already have an exam. And what I forgot to mention is that in the second exam, you have the French Federation regulation that are asking the questions in the exam, but also the FIFA questions. So every FIFA regulation and text, status, etc. are in the revision program if you want to pass the second exam. So they said, we already have a FIFA exam, so we don't need to host your exam.
One of the biggest stars of world football has been amongst the most talked about in the recent transfer windows, and that is, of course, Kylian Mbappe. And we aren't going to speculate about transfers or contracts, but one key part of many of the reports we've seen over the last 6 months to a year, if not longer, is the involvement of the player's mother, Faiza Lamari, who reportedly acts as his agent. And some may have over-exaggerated the fact that she no longer has a FIFA football agent's license, and that could have a bearing on representing the player. Yet we understand his mother is a lawyer, and as such, these reports are a bit misguided. Is that a reasonable presumption to make? And it could well have a bearing on where the player moves or whether he stays, because obviously he's at PSG, he's a French national, and he's probably happy in his homeland and at one of the biggest clubs in the world.
What I would say first about him is that he's a player that is not like the others, you know, because of his status, of his precocity and his talents. But the way he works and with his entourage seems very specific and not like the majority of the players in the football industry. As far as I know, indeed, the mother and the father are very close to the business and the football industry. And they have, each of them, their own role, you know. The mother is in charge of the charity association that he created. And the father has more role among the image rights company that Kylian Mbappé created. And the lawyer, who I know, who is very nice, very recognized in France, has a role of, I guess, and I see, and I speak sometime in the conference with the people concerned, as a more arbitrator of everything, of a headquarter. She receives, she controls, and she overviewed every legal aspect. But she always mentioned that she wasn't the agent and wasn't acting as an agent. So that's what she mentioned publicly. But I strongly believe that is the case because they've never had any issues about people around Kylian Mbappé or his entourage, etc. So it's very, very secured and very clear, I think, for everyone that everyone has his role. But Kylian Mbappé, for me, is the kind of player that doesn't need a day-to-day agent. Maybe in a deal, in a transfer, an agent could intervene to make the deals between clubs, but not act as a classic agent that we can imagine. But the question that medias and public are asking right now is, the mother, does she want to become the official agent? If it's the case, she would have to take the exam or not, but she has to if she wants to be the official agent. I think she spoke in the public article, in the sports article, that she said that she wanted to create a football agency. So she can create a company, a football agency, but she has to become or take an official registered license agent in the company to officially and legally act as an agent in France, which might not seem to be the case right now.
Belgium has anti-money laundering laws. Spain has a unique royal decree, the buyout clause. In terms of France, if we look at obviously the cap, the 10%, is there any other unique regulation or operation requirement in respect of, say, French labor law that applies to agents and they should be aware of? And more specifically, international agents who may want to do business, something unique, just like I mentioned from Belgium, Spain, or the cap?
Yeah. Once a foreign agent arrives in France to put a player or to work with a club, there are very specific, what I call sports law, because there are many fields that applies in France in the sports area. There are no specific sports law in terms of like Lex Sportiva, but there are a lot of labor law, tax law, companies law that some points apply on the sports industry and sports area. So in labor law, we have from the contract of a player. Basically, it cannot extend 5 years. It's a short-term duration contract. That's what we call it in France. We have just two types of working contracts, the long-term and the short-term. So the football contract is a short-term. The French tax law is very specific too, because we have also tax system that exonerate foreign players that haven't been French residents during the last 5 years. If you've been playing like 5 or 10 years in another country and then you come to France, you can benefit a lot of tax advantages. So you don't pay a lot of tax when you arrive in France. This was a law written by the state to attract foreign players to come to play the French championship and to be a better championship. The main advice that I would give to a foreign agent is, of course, to be with a local agent and a local lawyer, of course. Other specificity is very important. It's both for French and foreign agents. You have to, every time, give the contracts and the mandate you sign with your clients to the French Federation. It's mandatory points for the French Federation. Everything you sign is sent to the French Federation to be controlled. And that can go also, like I said, in front of a federal court if there is something suspicious. And you mentioned the money laundering system. In France, we have a kind of institution that controls it all the time. It's the financial district attorney, if I can translate like this. And also French agents, but it's a good question for foreign agents, are controlled by a specific authority organized by the French Federation. We call it DNCG. It controls the accounting of the French agents. Meaning that you're a French agent for 5, 10 years, and one day you receive a mail from this authority and say that you are fully controlled since the beginning of your activity. And you have to provide every document, every accountability you have to this institution so that they can control, ask for more, or sanction if necessary. If there was something wrong, you know, like paying somebody that wasn't an agent, receiving money from a curious country, or things like that. And if it goes further among federal sanction, because you can be sanctioned by the federation in France, you can be excluded from the French agent list, you can be also sanctioned by the federal state as a criminal law, depending on the fault the agent committed. So for the French agents and the foreign agents, they have to be careful every time because everything normally is transparent. So every document, every exchange you sign could be used against you at a specific moment. And if, of course, you are committing something wrong.
That's quite interesting because part of the FFAR or even part of the agent world, for a lot of agents have been asking for enforcement and transparency in the business. And as you say, the French model, there is enforcement, there is transparency, there is a paper trail where we see in a lot of other countries, especially during working with intermediary regulations, there was more of a wild west in some countries. So it's good to see that there is a transparent system existing within the agent space. One of the big debates on the FFAR, the FIFA Football Agent Regulations, is the issue of dual or multi-party representation. FIFA put it, stop the multi-party representation, allow dual only on one part of the transaction. What's the situation in France? Can you dually represent a player and club or multi-party, do the whole deal club to club and player? What's the situation in France?
That was one of the topics discussed during the redaction of the law of 2008, creating the status of an agent. And from the beginning, the government said, you cannot represent both parties in a deal. You can only represent one party in a deal, mainly because of the conflict of interests. So you cannot be paid both by a club or another club at the same time, or an a player. So this question was quickly evacuated by French law, and you have to work mainly for one party only. And if not, you can be sanctioned as a federal sanction, or even more regarding the criminal law. Because your conflict of interest, of course, but it could be specifically and clearly a breach of the law in this situation. So you cannot be a dual representative or multi-representative in a deal in France.
In terms of disputes regarding football agent matters, am I correct to assume that anything with a French football dimension could well fall under French law rather than FIFA regulations, either now or in the future, with its term international dimension? And if so, who would that be filed with, such as the French Federation or the French courts? Because obviously in that situation, you're not going to the FIFA DRC or the agents chamber or whatever. When we get to a point when we know where we've got to go with any forms of appeals like this, where would it actually be filed and who would deal with it?
Every time it will be filed in front of a French court because of the primary of the national law. There has been some situation in front of CAS, but mostly cases involving agents, but between clubs, which is different, a different situation. Clubs from France and clubs from another country that had an international dimension litigation. But every time you will have a difficulty with a French club, a French player as a French agent or as a foreign agent, you will have to deal with the French courts every time. to get paid, for instance. And you have a preliminary instance, which is organized by the National Olympic Committee, but it's not a court per se. It's more of arbitration, you know. But the decision is not fully enforced, even if you win in front of this court. So you have to go through this first Olympic Committee conciliation, that's what we call it. And then you can seize the national court. All the time, it would be the commercial court, what we call it, Tribunal de Commerce in France, to get paid from the club, or civil court to get paid from a player, if the player breached the contract, for instance, and signed with another agent before the signing of his contract. But French, we have a lot of case law of litigation between agents, their clients, both players and clubs. So yeah, the French court is appropriates the litigation all the time. And if you get a decision as an agent, French or foreign, from another country, from another court such as FIFA at the time before 2015 or CAS, you can enforce this decision in the French territory if necessary.
Just in summing up, and this is probably more my view, both now and since 2015, is it fair to say that the situation domestically with football agents licensing in France and regulation is a lot clearer than anywhere else around the world, but that questions still remain for French licensed agents who don't have a FIFA agent's license when dealing in international transfers, both in and out of France? And also, as you quite clearly said, the situation for overseas agents who have a FIFA agent's license, but when they're dealing with a player either based in France or moving to France, or a transfer with a French club being involved.
The thing is, Jonathan, as you say, we have a very clear system, but it's far from being a perfect one. Why is that? Because we have a lot of regulation, a lot of obligations for French and foreign agents in the French territory. But it appears that a lot of unrecognized an official, unlicensed person, agents, intervene and can work in France. Not that they can work because of the law, but they can work because of the market, the offer and demand situation. A lot of agents, sometimes they get caught. They work with some clubs, placing players without being officially recognized, both by French or European or even FFR license. They can work as what we call in France, the term, the translation of intermediary. So it's not the wording that suits us, that it used to be used by the FIFA. But in French, an intermediary is a person considered without a license. So it's very difficult to get them, because sometimes the clubs, I don't say have complicity, but they mostly don't know or don't want to know, I don't know. But the market considers that there are more than 400 or 500 unofficial agents that are working in France. That's the state. We don't know them. Sometimes there are criminal cases, but most of them succeed to work. But regarding the other countries, the other agents, and the recognition of the FFR or another system, if there is a foreign agent that works with a French club or a French player, he can become his agent from day to day. And tomorrow morning, somebody from, United States can say, I'm the agent of Kylian Mbappé. But if he wants to make a deal in France, he will have to comply with the regulations. So he will have to go through a French agent. Or if he's a European agent, he will have to go through the prestataire every time. The solution that some agencies found is that just simply to hire a French licensed agent, so that in the paper, there will be somebody that is allowed to work and to be registered for every document. It's like an habilitation that most agencies have found and hired of some people officially licensed, and they are part of the company and they act as the agents in the French territory. But everybody knows that in the reality, they don't act as the main agent in the market, in the business relations. But in the papers, as the French agent is member of the company, he will sign the papers and there won't be any trouble at all, because the company's suits with the French regulation.
One final question, Jean-Baptiste. Really appreciate your time here. Fantastic explanations to our questions. French football, exporting fabulous talent. The second division is very popular with scouts because a lot of younger players getting opportunities there. So it's a market that interests, besides clubs, it interests agents, and they're seeing a lot of lucrative transfers. Has there been a trend where multinational agencies are starting to look at France? I know IMG has been based in France a long time, but where the bigger groups of agents are seeing it's such a lucrative market that they're coming into France and not say take control, but have a big impact in terms of French transfers. Are you seeing that in France, or is it really the solo agents still operating in the space?
It's a very diffuse market because most of the agents in France, the French ones, are individuals or they make small companies. A lot of competition between French agents and therefore a lot of competition between French and foreign agents such as Stella, CAA, IMG, etc. or foreign companies that want to work in France. But with some of the big agencies such as Stella are really looking for young talent and promising talent, the copies of Kylian Mbappé. But recently, Camavinga, for instance, who was in Rennes at the time, was very soon solicited by Stella and they made the transfer to Real Madrid. So big companies are looking for this kind of profiles. But companies have eyes everywhere. There are some big French companies, I would say three or four, that work a lot in the market and the agent industry. But they are not really at the scale of American or big English companies. But because they mostly work in the French territory, you know. Because as you mentioned, we have a big, big players potential. We call that the vivier, the players where they are raised. I think, if I don't say any mistake, we are the second or the third country who exports the most players just before Argentina or Brazil. I don't know if it changed. And mostly Paris region, because there are a lot of binational players too, from Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, Africa, etc. So there are a lot of players in this region, which is maybe one of the most after Sao Paulo region of talented players. So yeah, a lot of scouts from every company, French and foreign, works in France. And they try to take good talent, of course, which is the essence of the market. So yeah, there are this very, very competitive market in France, both for French and foreign companies.
It's great that we got into the players a little bit because we are the agent business and players, besides clubs, are our business. Thank you for very comprehensive answers you've given to our questions. Really thank you for your time, and we will keep in touch. But yeah, very informative, very insightful, and really gave us a great picture of the French market. We knew about the players, but the French agency business is quite mysterious for a lot of people, and you really broke it down for us. I really appreciate Jean-Baptiste, and thank you so much.
It was a pleasure for me too. It's always good to practice my English. I used to live in Canada and I work sometime with English clubs, Northeast clubs, which is a different accent. And it was very nice to exchange and very grateful for your invitation. And I hope I sum up the French system quickly and very clearly. I hope the listeners will appreciate it.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste. Great to have you as a guest on the show. And like Peter, it's nice for him to practice his English as well. And before anyone comments, yes, I know I need to practice my English as well at times, given my mix of accents. But that was a really useful clarification on the French football agent regulatory landscape from Jean-Baptiste, as there are a lot of rumours and myths flying around on the topic, which no doubt will continue, not least with the ACJ ruling on FFAR still looming. And I, for one, have had many debates with agents and lawyers on the issue, on which I am clearer now, thanks to Jean-Baptiste, and I hope the listeners are too.
Yes, I'm very impressed with Jean-Baptiste, not because he's a fellow lawyer slash agent, but like me. He was introduced by a colleague of mine that we did a Harvard executive course with. I'm really glad he introduced us to Jean-Baptiste. I didn't know of him before, but really, really impressive and just breaking everything down, not just for listeners, but for everyone interested in France, the agent business, and what we can learn from France. I think everyone's intrigued by France because it is the second biggest export player market after Brazil. But for me, football agency in France has professional stature. It is respected as a job and is one of the countries that takes enforcement seriously, trying to keep opportunists or chances or non-licensed people out of the industry. And I think with the French Football Federation, they have investigative powers and a unit to look at a lot of these things where those resources are very important, especially on the enforcement side. You need investigative resources or ability to look and manage the whole agent profession because it is a profession in France. Also, and Jean-Baptiste broke it down very well, what an outside agent, international agent who wants to do some deals in France. And we know a lot of players come from a lot of countries into France as well, from Africa and other countries, how to follow the procedures to be able to work in France. But one thing intrigues me, Jonathan, France is part of the EU, right? European Union. If the European Court of Justice says that the cap is anti-competitive, that is the FFAR cap,
ultimately after the German referrals, especially the injunction referrals, and we've discussed that before, and it cannot apply in Europe. What happens to the French agent cap, the 10%? I think that's a talking point, how that's going to be dealt with in the future.
I think the one guarantee there is that the lawyers are again going to do very well out of it, that debate and that situation. And although Jean-Baptiste did say no one had been jailed, well, not yet, in relation to unlicensed football agents' activity, he did intimate that investigations were increasing and the authorities are proactive and serious in tackling the issue of unlicensed football agency activity in France. And from other sources, it seems they are also rolling it in alongside such aspects as money laundering, forgery, and even organised crime, it would seem.
Yes, I think in the French system, very active in looking at that, and not just the Football Federation, but other statutory bodies always looking at the agent industry and the sports industry in terms of anything untoward. I think that the French system could be a good base for many countries or national associations of many countries to follow if the FFAR remains uncertain or there are gaps in the FFAR's application worldwide. If the European Court of Justice does not come to the conclusive decision on the FFAR, on different parts, especially the caps, but other things. The reason I say that is because we saw that in the Super League case, yes, the decision was interpreted one way, but it wasn't that clear. It wasn't like a complete decision. So if there's vagaries with the decision, it may be that countries or legislatures may need to step in. But obviously, you would need a change in the law and government to step in. And also, and we mentioned this with the French and how they deal with FIFA, and Italy's another one in terms of their national agencies and their recognition by FIFA. And there was a process. We don't know how far that's progressed. But any country that decides to set up a French-type system will need FIFA to recognise that agent regulatory system, which is a whole other topic. Now, since we're on French football, we found a very interesting article and we talked about investigations and the French being very robust in monitoring agents and their agent space and the profession. There's an interesting article. I'm going to read it and I'll stick to the facts as accurately as possible. It's an article involving a French agent or maybe not a French agent. Former PSG manager's Christopher Gaultier's son taken into custody over fake agent allegations. It's an October 2023 article. I'll just read it a bit up from it. Just want to stick to the facts, especially when there's a serious allegation like that. In a nationwide operation, several sporting agents were arrested in France, facing accusations of practicing without the required licenses. Compte L'Equipe, which is a major paper, and also Actu 17, which is a legal information portal, I believe. Among those detained was John Valovich Gaultier, the adopted son of former PSG manager Christophe Gaultier. Now, the investigations all gained momentum when he was a licensed sports agent, but it's interesting that a manager alerted some conduct to authorities. Now, what's alleged is Gaultier and another associate are disguising their agent work under the guise of a career counselling company called Scores Agency. And this agency was involved in a transfer of a player from Montpellier to Nice. Now, it's interesting that at this stage, this investigation hasn't finished and there's other players involved with this, Alexandre Lacazette from Olympique Lyonnais and some other players. Now, this is serious stuff. It's an interesting what's happened here. We don't know all the facts, but the allegations show that the French authorities are not afraid to move into the agent sphere if the law's been allegedly brief. I do like that this report also refers to the, as I mentioned before, the judicial portal, which is a judicial information website called Actu 17. This is important because the judicial portals, they tend to be based on what exactly has happened and that avoids speculation. So this article, very interesting because action's been taken for the alleged illegal exercise of the profession of sports agent by trying to use another counselling type arrangement with players to get around the law.
And that story is one we've been wanting to cover for a while now. And there are quite a few reports of investigations like this in France involving agents, both licensed and unlicensed, as well as officials at several clubs. And it is important to stress that France isn't alone. It just seems the French authorities seem to be more active, decisive and more public than most of the authorities on the issues and investigations regarding football agents. It will be interesting to see whether the trend for legislation and other elements of legal regulation starts to pay more attention to the football agents' world, especially with the uncertainty surrounding FFAR, as you mentioned, Peter. And we spoke about it in the past with there being an impending independent football regulator in England and the UK and the possibility of something similar in Spain. Plus France and Italy having, as you said, their own national legal frameworks. But there are long-standing laws that could be applied to various aspects of football agent activity and connected to it, such as the Criminal Finance Act and subsequent tax legislation in England and the UK.
That's true, Jonathan. And before I go into an example of one country that implements some other law in order to look at these type of illegitimate maybe transactions, we will put this article in the show notes. It's from Get Football News France in terms of the fake agent allegations, the French article. Now, we mentioned earlier, and I think when we went through the national football agent regulations for Belgium, where they had, I didn't see in the other ones, and we know a lot of these regulations are suspended now, but they had talked about, or had stipulated, I should say, that they were applying anti-money laundering policies and measures in terms of the agent space to prevent and combat any financial crimes and protect the integrity and stability of not just the financial markets, because anti-money laundering is about financial markets, but also the integrity of the business, the profession, the traces of money and the legitimacy of everything. And we do know more and more tax authorities are working together more between countries, and that when, say, the Football Association or FIFA cannot always enforce the rules, and we know there's a lot of effective and assertive tax regulators around the world, the US, Australia, Germany, the UK and elsewhere, that if they have interest in these type of matters, that there's been unreasonable sums and payments and there's a money trail they want to trace, they'll get involved, especially if it involves a huge amount of money and also circumventing the laws, Jonathan.
And not so much on national laws and legislations, but something we have spoken about before, Peter, both between ourselves, to others, as well as here on the agents angle in past episodes. And I think this is a clear message to the likes of FIFA, the federations, the national member associations, even some leagues. You can have all the regulations you want, but if you don't have adequate enforcement and sanctions, you may as well not bother. And I will state for the record, it is my firm belief that because we don't and never really have had adequate sanctions, enforcement and regulation of the football agents world, this is why it is the mess it is now. But FFAR in its proposed form from FIFA is not the answer.
That's interesting observations, but I will put one caveat. Having spoken to a lot of new up-and-coming agents who have taken the exam, a lot of them have a willingness to approach authorities and say, this club or this player or this unlicensed agent is acting in the deal in one action. I actually think because a lot of people have reset the exam or taken an exam and want to have some pride and respect in their work, they're not going to put up with lack of regulation and enforcement. But as you say, Jonathan, FIFA, the national associations, every stakeholder has to take enforcement action like we do see in France. And that is fundamental for everything to work. And if we don't have that...
I have to say something coming back on that. There's a lot of people come into this industry wanting it to work correctly. And notice I say industry, I don't say profession. I want it to be a profession. I've wanted it to for many, many years. And the fact is, a lot of people come in and want to do it right and want to do it the right way. But when they see the lack of enforcement and the lack of sanctions, and in some cases, the football authorities even ignoring them reporting matters that are breaches of the regulations, whether it be by agents, unlicensed agents, clubs, players, or whoever, eventually they give up reporting and we're back to the same situation as before.
Hope not, Jonathan, but it's all to play for, as they say. Thank you to everyone for listening. We aim to cover other important football countries and leagues in future episodes of The Agents Angle. Please share to anyone who's interested in agency, any person, please share. And until next time, bye. Or should I say, au revoir.
He's showing off again with his languages. I'm just going to say bye, folks, and take care of yourself.
The purpose of the Agents Angle podcast is to provide news, information and facilitate discussion on regulatory matters, policies, business trends and issues affecting football agents worldwide. The opinions and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only and should never be considered legal or professional advice. Furthermore, the views expressed by guests are their own and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Thank you for listening.